Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. What a beautiful day. Was the ride up nice, John? Yeah, doesn't get any better than that. How about Becker's when you came down? Was it nice? Is nice up there? Yeah, it was good. You know why that is? And why you sleep so well in the fall? Because you don't have the heat and humidity of the summer. And the beauty just makes it enhanced all the more. Hey, let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, take a moment and introduce yourselves, would you please? Well, you all know that today is the annual meeting, so we will worship, thank God for as many blessings, and we have been smiled upon. And then we'll have our annual meeting following our worship today. A couple of announcements. I don't think anyone signed up for it. It's a matter of balance, managing concerns about falling. So I think Darlene Christensen is teaching that, and you can see when it's meeting, so... If you need something like that, some kind of exercise, that'd be great. And then if you need some pulled pork, they've got the Bethlehem Church. And then if you want to know about belly fat, I mean, they got it all up here. And then when your partner passes away, there's a grief support. Hey, I mean, we cover the bases. And today we're having a baptism after the annual meeting, so we've got it from the beginning to the end and everything in between. We got it all up here. We are blessed, and we've got a lot to be thankful for. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your many blessings. For being with us through the ages, for being with us through our lifetimes, for being with us this morning. Stir our hearts, awaken our souls, that we might understand that your Spirit lives in everything and everyone. Make us aware of your Spirit alive in this room this morning. And we pray, O Lord, that you might allow us to draw close to you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn, You Servants of God, 825, will rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the sovereign over all the earth, the wisdom from on high, our merciful judge and Savior.
Amen.
Let us boldly approach the throne of grace, trusting in God's mercy and love. Let's take a moment for a silent confession. And let us confess together, generous and faithful God, we confess to you all the ways, known and unknown, that we reject and undermine your steadfast love. Though you made us your people, we treat strangers with suspicion. Though you forgave our debts, we collect without mercy. Yet we are quick to pass judgment on others. Have mercy on us, O God, and remember your promise to us for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Through the living word, Jesus Christ, God forgives your every debt, your every sin, and gives you a new heart and a new spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join in the prayer of the day. God of love, giver of life, you know our frailties and failings. Give us your grace to overcome them. Keep us from those things that harm us, and guide us in the way of salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. And it's a blessing today to have the bells play.
job, Bill Choir. Thank you. Today's first reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. As part of a call for harmony rather than self-seeking, Paul uses a very early Christian hymn that extols the selflessness of Christ in his obedient death on the cross. Christ's selfless perspective is to be the essential perspective we share as a foundation for Christian accord. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The psalm today is Psalm 25. Please respond in the bold print where you see the bold R. Please use the refrain, "Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love." To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore, you teach sinners in your way. You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way. Remember, O Lord, your love and love. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 21st chapter of St. Matthew. After driving the money changers out of the temple, Jesus begins teaching there. His authority is questioned by the religious leaders who are supposed to be in charge of the temple. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 685, Take My Life That I Might Be. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Morning, Lowell.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here.
Yeah.
A lot of people did, so we might as well be seated and get comfortable. See, I was reading in the Week magazine this week about a perfume that came out that allows people to smell like Jesus. Have you ever wanted to smell like Jesus? I doubt that a lot of us has ever given much thought to that question before. But there is a perfume maker in California. I'm not making this up. Where else would it be done but California? That promises exactly that. The makers of this perfume called Virtue claim that if you wear their perfume, you will smell exactly like Jesus. I couldn't make this up. I wish I would have thought of it, however. I mean, using the Bible as a guide to what kind of plants were used as perfumes in the Holy Land when Jesus walked the earth, scientists at a perfume company called IBI claim that virtue, this is what it says, virtue is a close approximation of what Christ and his followers would have smelled like. I mean, it's a sweet blend consisting mostly of apricot with a dash of frankincense and myrrh. That's, of course, the gifts that were given to the baby Jesus by the three wise men. So there you have it. You can smell like Jesus, too. You can have it all. Obviously, that's quite absurd, but it does lead us to a much more profound thought by writer Max Lucado. The beginning of his book, Just Like Jesus, Lucado makes this statement, which I believe is quite important. He says, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you just as you are. Huh? He wants you to be just like Jesus. Now, there's a statement you can take home with you. Huh? Let me say it again. God loves you just the way you are, But he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Sometimes I suspect we modern people only want to hear the first words, God loves you just the way you are. I mean, that suits me. That would be great. We want God to accept us just as we are and then just leave us alone. After all, it's uncomfortable to change. No one likes change. As long as God loves us just as we are, you know, we've got it made. But I suspect that Max Lucado is closer to the truth. Here is the whole gospel. God loves you just the way you are. But he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. So we have St. Paul's message that Lynn read for us this morning, this message to the church at Philippi. Listen to these beautiful words again, huh? Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in the one Spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That's what Paul's writing to the church in Philippi. Paul's encouraging the church at Philippi to live in harmony, to live in humility, following the example of the Christ. Be like Jesus, he's saying. Humble yourself as he humbled himself. Be a servant as Jesus was a servant. He says, have the same love. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Note that St. Paul's words are directed to the church. Huh? This characterizes a healthy church, a humble church. We humble ourselves and we serve one another. That wonderful preacher and teacher, Fred Craddock, tells about visiting a church one time where he was supposed to hold services on Friday evening, Saturday evening, and Sunday morning. And when he arrived there at the church, there was a funeral going on. Well, he didn't want to push himself in there. He pulled into the parking lot and was waiting. People were moving to their automobiles. The hearse was there. Minister saw him, recognized him, called him over. And Craddock didn't want to intrude. I mean, he was just waiting for the funeral to be over after all. But he was standing next to the widow finally when he walked over, and the pastor introduced her to Craddock, and Craddock felt awkward, and he said to her, you know, this is no time to be meeting strangers. I'm sorry, and I'm very sorry for your loss. Her husband had been killed in an automobile accident and left for this widow and four children. He says, I know this must be a very difficult time for you. She says, it is, so I won't be able to be at the services tonight, but I'll be there tomorrow night, and I'll be there Sunday morning. And he says, no, you don't have to be there. And she says, yes, I do. He said, what I really meant to say was, I know this is a very hard time for you. And she says, I know it's hard. It's already hard, but you see, this is my church, and they're going to see that my children and I are going to be okay. That's the way a church ought to function. That's the kind of church that I hope we are thriving to me. This is annual meeting Sunday, and it seems like we should think about who we are as a church. Paul says, have the same love. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. So as I think about our church and annual meeting day, I know that a healthy church is one where people look out for one another. Last summer, 4th of July weekend, Simon Garfunkel was one of the featured artists. And the band sang Bridge Over Troubled Water. Some of you remember the lyrics. When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side when times get rough and friends just can't be found. Like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. That's how we should be in the church. It's an interesting phrase that has entered our common vernacular in recent days. It's a phrase, I'll have your back. In fact, I heard it used this week amongst our members. If I say to someone, especially someone in a difficult situation, I've got your back, you know that they'll be there for you, to look out for you, help you if you get in trouble. I'll have your back. The testimony of Scripture is that God always has our back. He always has our back. And we're to have one another's back. Or as in the Simon and Garfunkel song, God is our bridge over troubled waters, and we're to seek to be bridges for one another. That's the meaning of the Christian community. That's how God judges churches. Do we have each other's back? Do we deny ourselves and take up the cross and help each other down the road? Our church may not be the largest church in the state. Did you see that Eagle Ridge, Eagle Brook? Eagle Brook is opening their 14th church or something, and it's like 70,000 square feet. Today's their first worship service. I heard that on the news this morning. Our church may not be the largest in the state. We may never give an extraordinary amount to missions in comparison to larger, more affluent churches. But still, we can be an extraordinary church if we will be there for one another, if we will look out for one another, if we will help out one another, especially when we're in trouble. That's what a church congregation would be like if we followed Paul's advice. Another good analogy is for the church is like a flock of geese as it makes its way across the sky. Duck hunting opened yesterday. Any of you? Nah. You did? Did you get skied up by mosquitoes?
No.
You're lucky. But these ducks, or geese, they fly in that V formation. The flock, when they fly in formation, the flock, they can fly 71% farther if they're in formation. In the same way, the church people who share a sense of community can help each other get where they're going more easily if we work together like this flock of geese, when we hold each other up. We're told that when a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and flying alone. It quickly gets back in its space to take advantage of the lifting power of others around them. If we're as wise as those geese, we will also stay in formation with those who are headed in the same direction where we want to go. We're willing to accept their help and give our help in the same way. When the lead goose tires, it usually shifts places and someone else takes its place, flies to another place in line. That's how the leadership of the church should work. We take turns doing the hard tasks. We respect and protect each other's arrangements of skills and capabilities and talents and resources. The geese flying in formation honk to encourage those up front to keep going. Attaway, attaboy, attagirl. Keep up your speed. In this church, we do a lot of honking for each other. We need to make sure our honking is positive, though, and encouraging. In churches where there's encouragement, production, serving God is much greater. Individual empowerment results from lots of quality honking. And we should be honking for each other, huh? And you know what happens when a goose gets sick and can't stay up with it? Two geese fall out of formation to go down to help and protect that sick goose. They have this goose's back. They stand by each other in difficult times. A church family is to study the life of Jesus, says St. Paul. And we are called to have the same love, being one in spirit, of one mind. Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. He writes, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Can you imagine what our church would be like if we took these words literally, if we lived them every moment of every day? We often say that the church is the body of Christ. That doesn't mean that we cover ourselves with a special perfume sewn by some outfit in California. But it does mean that we ought to live like Jesus, serve like Jesus. This means that the church ought to be willing to lay down its life in order to fulfill its mission. We called a meeting of the churches around the lake here Thursday afternoon because we're told that in the next 5 years there's going to be something like 8,000 pastors retiring and 4,000 to replace them. So some of the smaller churches are going to be without pastors or using half-time pastors or asking lay people to step up, and I hope some of us in this room do that. But think this through for a few minutes. Did you know that it's not our job to protect the church? I mean, there are so many people fixated on making sure their church survives. Our task is not survival, but service. So many people, churches have been unwilling to take controversial stands because they might lose influential members. Their church might not have as much money as if some people leave. So many churches have been so unwilling to serve the least and the lowest that they may not mix well with the church family. They might soil the carpets if we invite some homeless folks in or invite some kids in. Out of fear, they think that they must protect the church at all costs, keep the doors open at all costs. What if Christ had this mindset, this attitude with his own body? That's not what he did. Listen to Paul's rest of his words in our lesson from Philippians. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, to live like Jesus is to love one another, to serve one another, to lay down your life for the world. If you're going to be like Jesus, that is to say that our mission is twofold. We love one another, and we love the world for which Christ died. And if it takes self-sacrifice, that's what we need to do. That's the mindset. St. Paul's writing to this church, you know, and he said that we should have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. Our job isn't to protect the church. We're to love and care for one another, lift each other up, no question about that. But that's a whole lot different than protecting a building. We're to love and serve one another, and we're to be willing to lay our lives down for those in here and those who are outside the doors. Love one another, love for the world. That's what it means to live like Jesus. Something for us to think about as we head into our meeting. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always, and may we have the mindset of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got much to be joyful about. Our next hymn is Joy to the World, 267. And this is for those snowbirds who are going to head south and won't have an opportunity to sing this with us. I will invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Thank you. We ought to sing like that every song. Please rise and let's join in the offertory prayer on page 5. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills, we gather together to become one bread. So let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Take a moment for silent prayer. Fill your church throughout the world with the Spirit to work for your pleasure. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Teach us how to value and enjoy the beauty of your creation with humility and to set aside selfish ambitions in how we share its resources. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Refresh the people of all nations with your compassion and love. And give us the same mind in Christ, living in peace with loving hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Rush to the aid of those who wait for you. Especially remember in our prayers this morning, Darwin and Janine, Wally and Bev, Roy Goslin, Teresa Berry, Mary England, Joyce Reimer, Linda Lundahl, and those in our lives who need your healing touch. Heal their pain, mend their brokenness, take away their sorrow, lift them out of their troubles, and relieve their burdens. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Encourage us in our lives together. Lead us in your path, and teach us to care for the needs of the poor, the exploited, and the outcast. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your many blessings in our lives, family and friends who love and care for us, and people who we can care for. Thank you for this congregation. Give us your vision today as we meet, that we might recognize that we are a part of something that has been around for a long while, and help us to recognize that we are just passing through, but we are called to do our duty for the future of this church and this world. We ask your blessing upon our visitors today. Send your Spirit to give them joy and peace and love. And be with us all as we enjoy this beautiful fall weather. Thank you, Lord, for this great gift. Make our joy complete in the knowledge of the good news of the resurrection. Console those who mourn. And give us the assurance of your presence in this life and the next. Hear us, O God. Trusting in your mercy and goodness, we bring before you these prayers and whatever else you see that we need. In the name of the one who sets us free, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you. Our closing hymn is 537.